Third verse, two from the first.
Oh, yeah, once again, you get it locked. Third Verse Extra Podcast, episode number
39.
I got my man Chapter Thrive, as always.
I'm right here.
Except for that one time we had Epic fill in.
Yep.
And I'm Chaps, and we're back with episode 39 with Infinite P.
No Adoba.
From Calgary, yep. Alberta, Canada. It was really dope to reach out to him. We talked about Endangered Species, Intangible release that was recently just re-released for the first time on vinyl and reissued the cassette. It was originally put out as a 100 cassette release where they just hand dubbed and put out. And
was the case always back then, right?
Yeah.
Like everybody's doing that.
And it came out in the 90s, tapes, hhv.de, where you can order it. It's really dope. Pretty excited about that record. It's a classic Canadian record, and it's something you should go grab if you don't already have it. If you listen to the show, you probably, there's a good chance you might have it, but if you don't and didn't know about it, definitely cop that.
It's a limited release unless it hits, sells out, right?
So
if you don't jump on it,
you might miss out on it completely, which is, you don't want to do that. We talked about his career in the Calgary scene, NWNB, time out in Vancouver, which was really cool.
Yep. Spending money and racks on ASR-10s in the 90s.
Shouts to Longa McQuaid for single-handedly funding Canadian rap.
Yeah,
with their,
financing.
Incredible. Just a really cool, positive conversation. It was good to connect. I know, we had some beef back in the day. We obviously squashed it.
Classic Uxbag message.
Yeah, Uxbag message board beef. And we squashed that in person over a decade ago, which was really cool. It just reminisced about rap, and which was really fun.
Yep.
Really fun episode. So hope you enjoy it. As always, shouts to 309 Heads for the illustrations.
Yep.
And we got some gear over at the Uxmag. Uxmag.com/shop. We got some fresh shirts, third verse shirts. We got the episode 1-36 shirt, 1-36 poster. There's some cool Uxmag gear up there as well. And if you want something, grab it from there. It's really cool that Noise puts that together for us, and everything he does for us, we definitely appreciate it.
And now we're working towards season 2.
Season 2. So we'll get another 36 episodes, a new poster. This is 3 episodes in. So we got 33 to go.
Yep.
Which is really cool. And we got some, we're really excited about this season and some of the people we're going to be talking to, and some of the conversations we've already had have been amazing. And As always, we also do a radio show called Third Verse, and we're in our 25th year.
Great.
Coming up, we'll celebrate 25 years, I'm calling it, in December, on Christmas. That show will be on the 26th this year.
Oh, it will be?
Yeah.
Is it going to be a classic show?
I don't know. we'll have to figure out something, because that would be, like, I'm just going based on certain things. You might be able to stretch it back a bit further. The show's been running continuous since 94, but not always as Third Verse. And it's definitely an amazing show. It's on Wednesdays 9 to 10:30 Central Standard Time, CFCR.ca. Listen online. They got an app, which is dope. And support that if you're into that kind of thing. I also do a radio show on UMFM 101.5 in Winnipeg called You Know the Rules, and it airs 10 to 11 Winnipeg time. I don't know what time zone they are, because the time's just changed.
Back to Central now, right?
They're ahead of us.
Yeah.
They're like that other kind of time. It's like their own time.
Not EST.
No, it's like a, I don't know. It's not standard sense. It's a different one. But anyways, we're not here. We're not time zone experts. The only reason we care about time zones is we line up these interviews. We got to be like, oh, what time of year is it now, and who's ahead or who's even up with us. Calgary, Alberta being even with us right now, and Manitoba being at one ahead, and the East being two.
Yep.
And Vancouver being one behind now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's how we have to line these. When we record, we usually record in a couple in a night or something, and so you got to, like, pick a time zone that works early and a time zone that works late, which is dope. But anyways, hope you enjoy this episode. It was a lot of fun.
Yep.
Peace. Peace. Dark birds pull from the fur. Our mic's up?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yo, yo.
Yo, what's up, man? This is Chaps.
What up, man?
How you doing?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I'm doing great, man. Thanks so much for joining us here. Really appreciate
it. Yeah, no doubt.
So,
thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. We got Chapter Thrive here.
Hey, man, what's up?
What up, man?
And can you hear us okay? Everything sound good?
Yeah, how about on my end?
Yeah,
everything's looking good.
We got good levels and stuff, which is great.
Okay.
I'm just gonna give you a quick rundown here. So kind of our the idea of our podcast. We've done 36 episodes, and the idea is we're just trying to capture the hip hop scene that we all grew up in, and just kind of capture that history to make sure people know talking to key players and important people and things like that. And so obviously you were a big part of that scene. And just want to get your story so people know about it. And that's kind of where we're going to roll. Hope that's cool.
Yeah, sounds good. I'm maybe lead with the questions and I'll try my best.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm just going to do like a quick little reset to intro what we're going to do here. And then we'll get rolling. How's that sound?
Yeah, sounds good, man.
Word up. Once again, you got it locked right here. Third Verse Extra Podcast. We got the homie Infinite P, a.k.a. IPZ, all the way live from Calgary, Alberta, Canada, on the phone. How's it going, man?
Good. What up, y'all?
Chilling. Happy to have you on the show. Obviously your name's come up, in past episodes, in crew with some of the people we've talked to and things like that. So it's nice to finally get you on the phone and get you on the episode here, which is really dope.
No doubt. You guys have got, quite a track record.
Word. Appreciate you joining us here today. Are you born in Calgary?
Yeah, I'm born in Calgary, and I lived here most of my life with, a little stint in BC as well.
Yeah, word. So, just for reference, what year were you born in?
1977.
Oh, nice. Okay, so you're older than I am. Word. That's I knew we were right around the same age. I didn't know if it was the same age. You're older, you're younger. So that's just that's dope. Just for a point of reference. Helps me figure it out. What are your earliest memories with hip hop, and how'd you get into hip hop?
Probably my earliest are hearing Easy Rock and Young MC on the radio and shit.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really a head at the time. I was kind of skateboarding at that time.
Yeah.
So my first, at the time I was probably listening to, rock and select R&B and pop or whatever. And I was skateboarding, and that's when I was exposed to my first bit of hip hop, as well as my best homie's big brother exposed us to Ice-T and, N.W.A., Ghetto Boys, shit like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I didn't really get into it till probably late 88, early 89.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so 88, 89, growing up in Calgary, Calgary's a lot bigger than Saskatoon. What were the kind of outlets that that you were able to absorb hip hop through?
There really wasn't much. It was mostly through tapes, through homies.
Yeah.
Some of my skater homies had pretty much the whole West Coast thing in their collection, and they'd be like, oh, yo, you heard of Too Short, or you heard of this Ice-T, NWA, Two Live Crew, stuff like that. And I was just holy, this is so rebellious. That was the age where I was feeling kind of rebellious myself. So I was holy, this is crazy, man. And, most at school, kids would bring tapes, how I got started was through this cat named Duval, and his cousins would have guys from New York and whatever bring tapes to them, so he'd bring them back. So, like, at school, I heard a lot of music, too.
So a lot of mixtapes and different things like that?
Yeah, or actual cassettes.
Actual cassettes, like, yeah.
Yeah, and we'd, like, bump them during lunch break and stuff, so that was dope.
Word. You kind of, you know, you're a fan, you're falling in love with the music. How do you make the transition into rhyming?
So how it, the exact moment it started is, once again, credit to Duval. We were sitting in class, and he's from Jamaica, and he just had came to Calgary, and he was like, yo, you got, like, everyone at the table that was the homies, he was like, you guys should rap. And we all, like, looked at each other like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Rap. Yeah. And he was like, he goes, no, seriously. He goes, just, you know, rhyme about whatever. And we're like, we don't rap. And he goes, anybody could rap. And he's like, the girls will like us. And then we were like, oh, the girls will like us. So, yeah. You know what I mean? we were like, oh, shit, okay. The girls will like us. We doing this. So whatever, it went from him to the next man, then to me. And I don't know, I just, like, freestyled about my textbooks and the class or whatever. And he was like, whoa, you seem pretty natural. And I'm like, I don't know, I guess I got words in my, you know what I mean, in my cranium. So it just from there. And then, like, after that, because it went so well, we just kept going.
And so anyone from that original cypher, people that you made music with, or was it just...
Well, funny thing is, Duval was Knowhow's, like, best homie.
Oh, okay.
But I hadn't met Knowhow yet.
Yeah.
So him and Duval were, like, kicking it in their neighborhood. And he was at a different school, but he came to visit my junior high school.
Yeah.
And that's when I met Knowhow. And, you know, at first, you know, you're kind of, like, standoffish. You don't know this guy. Yeah. He don't know you. So we didn't, like, become friends at this point.
Yeah.
But we knew of each other. But other than that, it was like this dude, James Harrison, that was a DJ at the time.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much the little crew.
Word. So after that, like, what kind of, like, did it go, like, you know, the cypher and, you know, over instrumentals or things like that? Or what, how did it progress from that?
Well, like, me and my other, like, childhood homie, we used to rap, like, every day. And when we'd play video games, listen to rap. And his brother had one of those Gemini mixers.
Yeah.
So, like, it had the 8-second sampler on it.
Yep. Well, so familiar we sampled with those, yeah.
Okay, word up.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we'd loop shit, and then me and him would, like, practice, and one day we, like, recorded a thing, and I don't know, I think at the time I was under the moniker King Jazz or some shit.
Yeah.
That was, like, pre-IP.
Yeah.
And, yeah, we did, like, a thing, like, some Roughneck song or whatever that was, like, kind of a vibe at the time, you know. Yeah. But we were young, so we did a joint on that, and I remember we were playing it in his big brother's car, and we met Chain Reaction, who's, like, another Calgary legend.
Yeah.
And he heard it, and he goes, yo, you guys are, like, 16 or 15? And he's like, that shit's dope. And we're like, oh, thanks. It was over, like, some Soul Assassins B-side or whatever, I think off the Funk Dubious record.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so we did that, and then, you know, pretty much it was just freestyle, though. Like, that was my first kind of recording.
Yeah.
But everything else was freestyle, freestyle, freestyle. And then I got in a lot of trouble kind of in my high school days, and I got sent to Vancouver.
Yeah.
And that's where I kind of really got, exposed to hip-hop culture.
What year did you go out to Vancouver?
That was 94.
Okay,
summer,
so...
June of 94.
Nice. That was a pretty important era in Vancouver hip hop.
Yeah, word up, man. It was. I missed. They had, like, a big Hyro show.
Yeah.
And I guess Moke and Prev had opened, and I missed it by a day.
Oh, man.
So, like, inevitably, I met those guys later. But I was like, that would have been the perfect day to arrive.
Oh yeah, that would have been for many reasons. That would have been the perfect day. Yeah, that show would have been
word up.
Incredible. In that era. So you go out to Vancouver. You're going out to school there, right?
Yeah.
And who do you connect with when you get out there?
Well, at first I didn't know anybody,
yeah.
So I headed off to the basketball court. And, you know, right away you meet some heads and, like, just people that know people there. And I think, like, the first cats I met was probably, like, this cat named Osgood, Prev, Mocha. Like they had a crew named QC.
Yeah.
They're Sichuan and Zen. So like I met all of the kind of QC cats.
Yeah.
But I also knew a few cats that were friends with like Rascals and their crew. So I kind of, I didn't like kick it with those boys, but I met them at like these parties because we used to get into these like parties that were like on Hastings and shit. And like, you know, we didn't have ID, but people would just sneak you in or whatever. So Rascals and Chemo and them were always there, Flip Out and shit. So we were, it was like crazy because like we couldn't drink or whatever. At the time I was an athlete, so I'm not smoking weed. But yeah, so I got exposed to that. I got snuck into, I think my first show I think was Split Sphere, where basically Previn Mokes just freestyle over beats, and they have some like predetermined hooks.
Yeah.
So it's almost like a show. But it was like a freestyle fellowship type show. So that was like, that blew my mind. Like, that was amazing.
Yeah, that would be definitely amazing. Yeah, that's dope. That QC tape is you know, a legendary piece of work. So to be around those cats in that era, that's that'd be, I'm envious of that. That'd be really cool.
Do you got a copy of it?
I wish I had a copy. I've heard
I got a copy.
That's amazing.
I could dub a copy.
I have a digital copy. I don't have an original copy. Yeah, I'd heard it like, I had a dubbed copy of it, you know, like dub of a dub kind of thing back in the day.
Yeah.
And, cause that, you know, that kind of got around quite a bit. You know, which was, you know, it was cause it was ridiculous, right? It was just so amazing and good. And you were just like, man, this is like the best thing. And it was like, yeah. And it's from Canada. You're like, this is extra mind blowing, right?
Yeah. And then for me, it was like, I'm around these guys. So I'm like, damn, this, if they can do it, I probably could do it. You know, like it was direct kind of the wind behind your back.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, like your style and stuff's birthed out of that scene, right? Like that's what when I hear your stuff, that's what I think, right? You know, especially your early stuff, it's like, yeah, okay, like this makes sense in my head because it's like, you know, you can hold your weight with any one of those guys, right? And and it's like super, super dope. So
one of my biggest and dopest memories is freestyling with Prev, because like anybody that knows him knows he's like, there's probably, you know, people go supernatural, but like, yo, Prev is probably the best freestyler I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
You know, like he's not my favorite MC or whatever, like when it comes to records, but when it comes to freestyles, if you intro me to a better rapper, I'll fucking have a heart attack. You know what I'm saying?
yeah, definitely. Those guys are ridiculous. Like, in that era, like, and you know, still those guys are ridiculous, right? Like, as far as rhyming goes. So you're out in Vancouver, you're going to all these different shows and different things. Do you start making any music or do you start like working with anybody or anything like that at that
point? No, I think this is probably like my biggest development phase. This is when I'm starting to go on to open mics.
Yeah.
This is, I'm meeting guys. I'm, like I said, I learned, they're recording. So I'm learning kind of the ropes and I'm watching. I went to video shoots, like, you know, the Cypher 360.
Yeah.
Me and my boys were in that video, like just hardly, you can hardly see us, but still it was so dope because we were young.
That'd be an incredible experience. How did you find yourself in that video?
They had like an open casting call at Fuck What You Heard.
Yeah.
And like, obviously we were like, oh shit, we got to go. You know what I mean? Like you could dress fresh, go there. Free food and whatever.
Yeah.
So like everybody that kind of signed up got to go.
Oh, nice.
And that was really dope because it was your first kind of, you see the ins and outs of the game.
Oh, for sure. Like to see it, and you know, that's like, was a big budget video, right?
Word.
And you know, to see that at that age, that'd be incredible. Like I would have lost my, I would have done the exact same thing you did. I would have like went to Fuck What You Heard and been like, yeah, man, we got to do this. I got to go there. Just to witness it. Right. Even if you didn't get in, or, you know, your shot got edited out or whatever, just to see it go down. Right. Cause you haven't like, you know, until you see it, you have no idea. Like you're kind of an outsider. You just kind of learn as much as you can. Yeah, that's amazing. That's really cool.
Yeah,
that's fresh.
It was super fun. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, no, I can imagine. That's
yeah, man.
That's awesome. So you're honing your craft in Vancouver. You know, you're working on things. You're seeing different people. You're connecting with different people. So then do you go back to Calgary? Is that what happens? Or?
Yeah, so then like my living situation got all fucked up.
Yeah.
And I asked my mom and stepdad if I could move back to Calgary, and luckily they said yes. So I get here and obviously I got this like major hip hop bug, you know?
Yeah.
And there was a crew here called Verbal Assassins. One of the homies had an ASR-10 and like,
oh, nice.
Just like, I don't know how he got this gear at that, like when he was young.
Yeah.
But he had like ASR-10 MPC, like full Cubase recording. Like we were just, me and Noah were like, what the fuck?
What year is that?
It's like 97.
Yeah, 97 in Calgary. That's crazy.
Yeah. So when I get back, I end up going there, of course, right? Because they told me they were recording. Yeah. So I hopped on like a posse joint and Noah was there. So like that was like ill because like I said, we weren't friends when we were like young,
yeah.
But we knew each other. And then like when I get there, we start having like a freestyle sesh. Everybody shuts down except for Know-How. So it's like me and Know-How are just going off, reminding me of like me and Moke or me and Prev and shit. I was like, oh, damn, this kid is fucking nice.
Yeah.
And like he hasn't been to Vancouver or nothing. He's just like, he's born with it, right?
Yeah.
So we're going off like, and then that right away that day we became friends just due to how not like the freestyle. We're like, damn, we're sharp. So then we're like, me and Know-How are like, yo, we need to like try and get some joints done while we have this opportunity. But these guys would kind of like, if we weren't recording with them, they weren't interested.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I totally know what you mean. Yeah,
and fair enough. Yeah. Like you know, some people just. Whatever, they don't want to share or whatever it is. So then me and Know-How were like, fuck this. Let's save up our dough and get an ASR-10.
Yeah.
Because we both knew how to like work it. But they were like $3,300 back
then.
Oh,
man,
like, we're
so expensive.
18, 19 years old. So we saved our money and copped one.
Nice.
And the rest was kind of history, right? So like, Know-How had dabbled in beat making since like, I don't know, mid-90s.
Yeah.
And then, but he never had, I think he only had like a little, like a Gemini sampler or something.
Yeah.
And then once we got the ASRs, so that was 98, we both just went ham, right? Like he was at the crib every day, or I think it was set up at his parents' first, then it was set up in my basement suite. Yeah. It was just wherever we went, it was there.
Possess strong ties to being tight like old school Puma shoes laced in super fast. But my styles come assorted, words spoken become a token of weaponry recorded, collected for storage of history. Know-How similar to the Shroud of Turin. I hail from a cloud of mystery or mystique. None can critique, cause my flow embodies the physique of an extremely well-conditioned athlete. Running the course, you're running away from the stunning ray of this heat-seeking ultraviolet wave, which burns to the core, leaving sores. I know you're seeing red like a bull, but I move with the ease of a matador. Out of harm's length, passionate beats get stimulated by my brain's wavelength and charm strength. Traveling at the speed of mics without aid of fossil fuels. Heed the flight, cause I petrified the not fossilized fools. Taught about in schools, not restricted by rules. Written rhymes are not material, that's why I drop jewels of mass confusion. You couldn't show signs of dopeness if I smoke ganja and gave you a blood transfusion. So in the likeness of Arnold, I terminate no sequels. The species are harder than heads on stubborn people. We reach your subconscious with substantial substance. We reach your subconscious with substantial substance. Substance, that of which a thing consists. Material purport, essence, the place that I exist. The power within my fist, electrically like trains and transit transits. Mystical twists and lyrical labyrinths. I'm the opposite of basic, the chosen one in the matrix. The puzzle piece of placement, horizontal avert. I'm an expert in a t-shirt and almost perfect work. Battling circle jerks and half a circle's a smirk. So let me lurk within your smile, put a virus in your style. Leave you pranked within the dial, tone of microphone. Leaving marks on you, marks with my remarks. As I embark, you ain't a part of my art. Playing a
apart, I rip apart, and a part of my heart is like a poisonous dart. I'm beginning to end, but is the end really a start? Leave that question for the cosmos and osmosis for flows. And these raps of today are toys like my G.I. Joes, put away in a box and thrown somewhere in a closet. Need to throw in a towel or tighten up that leaky faucet. I'm a man finna floss it, a specimen of skilled gossip. The W I toss it, indicating where I brought it. Endanger the product of muscle, no anabolics, always keeping it prepped. While you maintain a mouth of colic, need a foundation that's solid like PB, which is lead. Battle this superhero, get caught in Spider-Man's web. I got confidence like Ev, like Rakim, I know the ledge. My written substance is dope, but wait till you hear me off the head.
So what, you know, the SR10's like legendary and made, and, you know, has made so many amazing records over the years, and it has its own sound that's you know, one that I love definitely. So seeing the SR, so you saw an MPC and you saw an ASR10, what drew you to the ASR10?
Pardon me?
You were at that studio with those they had an MPC, they had an ASR10. What drew you to the ASR10 versus like an MPC?
I think because that was the one we got, like, we had our hands on.
Yeah.
And I think at the time, you know what I mean? Like, I think Alchemist, I think Muggs, everybody that we kind of were fucking with was using ASRs. Yeah. We were like, oh, dope. Like, and then, I don't know, I guess the allure of the keyboard, it looked dope, too. It's like, yeah. I don't know, something, and the sound, like you said, I was just feeling the sound. So that's what we chose. I mean, nowadays, I fuck with anything.
Yeah.
But at the time we chose that, and I think we made a good choice.
Oh, definitely. I would agree for sure. It's just to buy an ASR10 back in those days at that price, that's it's insane when you think back to it, right?
Yeah, like, cuz now you can talk, dog, like I got the latest model of machine.
Yeah.
It's like I got it off some kid for $550, but yeah. Even if you buy it brand new, it's $800. And yeah. That shit is like an ASR on steroids.
It's yeah, the game's completely different. I think, like, you know, people coming up now just don't have the understanding or appreciation for what it was to do things in that era, and the amount of like sacrifice and dedication it took to you know, to come up with $3,300, you know, at that age, and like that's insane. Like, but to have to be that committed to it, and like, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I want, to be that driven. I remember I bought a Vestax 05 Pro mixer for like $1,000, and I was like, you know, and like, no, I still have it. I bought it in 1998, I think. And, you know, and it's like, I'm never going to get rid of that thing. It's like, I saved up so much for it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm never going to get rid of that mixer. It means
no
way
doubt.
Too much, right?
That's
like,
your baby.
Yeah. And it's just like, you know what, like, I just like, that's what you did then, right? Because you're like, man, I want to do this so bad. I'm going to do whatever it takes to figure it out. And, you know, and going into like, did you order it from like Long and McQuaid or?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you go in there.
And that's where we all got it.
Yeah. Like, and they're like, I want to order this. And they're like, have no idea what you're talking about. We're like, but I found out I can get it here, cause I phoned, you know, looked up some number and they said, you're a distributor for this, so you can get it for me. And they're like, and they look up in their system, like, well, yeah, we can or whatever, right? It's like, you were that driven, you would like do whatever it took to find numbers or whatever. You just phoned every place and be like, hey, who distributes this here? Who can get this or whatever? And you just figure it out. Like, I don't know. I think it was just like that era, like people were just driven in a different way.
And shout out to Long and McQuaid, because they're the place that you don't need credit. You just need a job and they'll put you on. So big up to them.
I know they're like that program. Like I got my homie Parapoet. He always jokes that he's been making payments to Long McQuaid every month for the last like 20 plus years, and it's dead serious. As soon as it's paid off, he re-ups on something new or whatever, right?
Oh,
and it's just like, man, he's like, I've been paying those guys forever, like, you know, like. And, you know, and a lot of people we've talked to, it's like the same thing. It's like, man, Long McQuaid helped me get this or helped me get that or whatever. So,
I just copped off them. I paid off my UA Apollo Twin console.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
I got a payment with them right now, but it's almost on a new mixer, so it's almost up. So that's Word good. Shouts to Long McQuaid still helping us out after, you know, all these years, 20 plus years of doing this. So you and Noah got the ASR-10. You're in the crib. You're putting it down. You're putting in work. So what's the kind of first project you guys, or what kind of comes from that to start?
So basically I think within the year we copped the Roland digital 8-track.
Yep.
And we pretty much had stockpiled a gang of beats. I think at the time Noah's shit was definitely iller than mine, so we went with mostly his beats on the Intangible record.
Yeah.
And I think I might have rhymed a bit more on that, and he produced a bit more on it. So it was a dope, we shared the workload quite evenly.
Yeah.
And then when we were on tour, we were actually out in, you're in Saskatoon, right?
Yeah, I remember
the
show.
We were in your city with Vin Rock.
Yep.
And we were cool with Isosceles too, yep. Molson Speck and all them boys. So we met up with them after the show. We recorded that Fortified Aorta, which is
that's
amazing record.
That's amazing because, speaking of, we're talking about the Endangered Species record, Intangible, that was just re-released for the first time on vinyl through 90s Tapes and HHV.de in Germany. And the Fortified Aorta, I had a copy of this tape back in the day, but I don't, for whatever reason, it disappeared over the years. So I was really excited to see this because I really liked that album a lot when it came out. And we were talking about the Vin Rock show here. It was at the basement. And we were wondering if that track was recorded in Saskatoon or not. And I was like, in my head, I'm like, I bet you that track was recorded in Saskatoon after that show.
Yes, sir. You were right.
Oh, right now. That's amazing. So,
yeah, man.
That's so cool. That's awesome. I don't know. I'm really excited that album has, got some new life breathed into it. You know, this many years later, 21 plus years later, which is
me and Noah had kind of forgot about that record. You know what I'm saying?
So old.
But in this last summer, I got this random email.
Yeah.
The guy's we've been thinking of doing this label and, just letting me know the rundown. He goes, would you guys want to be part of it? And that's just a rhetorical question,
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah.
Where I was holy, we've been wanting to press vinyl, but it's expensive.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So these guys said, we're going to do colored vinyl and cassette and shit. And I'm like, yo, amazing. I go, they're offering us money, everything. It was dope. So
that's really
dope. Jumped on it, signed the contract, and here we go.
How did they, obviously they reached out to you, but how did they come across the album?
So Gordon from HHV Records.
Yeah.
I think he's A&R or whatnot. He said he had a tape that Vin Rock, a Vin Rock tape from around 98 or whatever, 99. Yeah. And he said he heard Fortify Aorta on it. And he goes, I remember you guys, your guys' music, but he goes, it was hard to get.
Yeah, and super hard to get.
Obviously.
Especially out there, yeah.
And our first rack, we only did 100 cassettes, which we dubbed from the digital 8 right to a tape deck. That was the original run, 100 cassettes. It was pretty much just for tour.
Yeah.
To make some money on the road. And that was it. So, they've already... They pressed 100 cassettes, so they matched what we did in the beginning and got 300 vinyl to start.
Yeah.
And they said if this sells out, they might press black vinyl and whatnot. So it's all up to the fans and the people out there that want to fuck with that old shit.
Yeah, you should definitely, if you're listening and you don't know about this record, you need to go to hhv.de right now and order it. I was shocked. I saw it pop up online. On Instagram, a homie of mine out in Germany had posted it, and I was like, and I saw it, and I was like, I hit him up right away. I'm like, dude, I'm like, what? It was in the morning. It was I think it was 6:30 in the morning. I just woke up or whatever, and I was like, man, I was like, I know what it is, right? I'm reading it, but it's not how, where'd this come from? Is this even out yet, or what's going on? So he's like, no, he's like, hey, he's like, I just got it. It's just released today or whatever. And I'm like, okay, cool. I could take a deep breath, because, things sell quick or whatever, and you don't want to miss out on something, especially something like this. It's a big part of an era of music that I love, right? And so to get a copy on vinyl, I was like, oh my God. I'm like, boom. I'm like, done. I'm getting it right now. This is it. I'm like, order it before I went to work.
Not appreciated, man. Thanks.
Yeah, I was just like, it just blew me away. And I was really excited because I'm like, that tape was amazing. And I instantly thought of that show at the basement where you guys rocked it with Vin Rock. And that's a pretty monumental show. And I think, Factor and I were talking about that show the other day. Maybe about a couple months ago, and just, you know, like really, really liked that show. And I think I have a video of it somewhere, or video footage of it.
Really?
So I'm trying to look through some VHSs and try and find it. So if I definitely find it, I'll digitize it and send it out your way. If
I can track it down. I'd love to see it.
Yeah, me too. Like, but he's like, there's video of it. I'm like, dude, I think there is video. I think I have it somewhere. I got a box full of VHSs I got to go through.
Wow.
I got a VHS player. I just got to hook it up. So I'm good on that end. I got really vivid memories of that show. Like it was like, you know, like the performances were amazing all night. And like, you know, Vin Rock was at his height, you know, like, I mean, that was really, really, you know, being into DJing, I was really excited. And it was just really amazing show. And that's like, you know, this record obviously has a lot of sentimental value to me, because it brings me back to a lot of really, you know, exciting times in rap. And I was like, oh man, I'm just really happy that they heard it and you guys made it happen. That's really cool. So
word, man.
Props to you guys, man.
We feel the same. Like, we were like, oh my God, like, I probably haven't listened to that record in 10 years. And then, you know, obviously this, like you said, it breathed new life into it. And now I'm like, oh, cool, man. Like, brings me back to when I just had my son, you know what I mean? And now he's a grown man.
yeah, exactly.
Crazy.
So, yeah, that's so dope that track was recorded here. Oh, man.
Word, man.
That's so fresh. Man, that's so dope. So you guys are that album comes out, you guys are on the road, you're out with Vin Rock and stuff, and you're playing a bunch of shows. You know, you've toured quite a bit across Canada, and you know, you've played tons of really, really dope shows over the years. But so you do the Endangered Species this tour, you put out those cassettes. What happens after that?
After that I like still have the bug going. I think, like, I don't know at the time if Know How was kind of just focusing on beats or whatever, but I still wanted to put out more stuff, so I started doing some solo stuff.
Yeah.
And I put out a Who Knows in like 2000 or 2000. So I think on Who Knows, it was mostly all my production and there was no guests, I don't think. And then I did What I Invent. Know How was on that, sitting and producing. Then I put out like another. I just kept doing some solo projects up until 2000.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? This world's messed up, and I'm messed up right with it, but I don't really give a shit. I ain't gonna quit it. I got this stuff. Gotta let it off my chest. Gotta give it to you with the beats that are fresh and the rhymes, even though sometimes it's depressing. I don't give a damn. I'ma teach you a lesson anywhere. Quit stressing and get on this mic. Senses and nonsense, burning incense and intense events of the conscious, making sense to pay rent, intent of time well spent, shower for the fresh scent, then take a trip and observe and write down what I invent. Five senses and nonsense, burning incense and intense events of the conscious, making sense to pay rent, intent of time well spent, shower for the fresh scent, then take a trip and observe and write down what I invent. Daily living, they give and take, make mistakes, go to work, enjoy your breaks, just to put some food on your plate. No debate, I'm straightforward in a world that talk word. I talk words, I rock word, quench my thirst with a sip of courage, knowledge that will nourish, abolish ignorance with diligence, my seed will flourish with intellectual independence. I'm independent, the shining pendant, holding a pen within the pit and pendulum. If you have a skeleton, brother, sister, or friend, my development is for your common sense of relevance, the untraveled sea of my elegance, ghetto trends.
stretch the suburb for cost ends, but my ends barely make ends meet. I make music for the streets where they bump beats, as unique as a painting from Monet. I'm a lonely homie where the truth's far from phoning. 5 senses and nonsense, burning incense and intense events of the conscious, making sense to pay rent, intent a time well spent, shower for the fresh scent, then take a trip and observe and write down what I invent. 5 senses and nonsense, burning incense and intense events of the conscious, making sense to pay rent, intent a time well spent, shower for the fresh scent, then take a trip and observe and write down what I invent. The glass is half full, said the optimistic, to me the glass was invisible cause I'm hella mystic. I know illusions face us every day like a relationship with the opposite sex that only fades away like a sunny day. The sky from blue to gray. Anyway, my father that never really bothered told me you ain't a man till you face heartbreak. I think he's right cause in 98 I see my love turn to hate, but I let it reciprocate cause positivity feels too great. Open the right directional gate and keep my head on straight. Take Big Pun for an example and watch your weight. You can't buy your health or spend all your days by yourself. Happiness as well in this world of big sales where sex sells. I'm an endangered seal for real in a pool. Looted ocean that needs to be healed. Five senses and nonsense, burning incense and intense events of the conscious, making sense to pay rent, intent a time well spent, shower for the fresh scent, then take a trip and observe and write down what I invent. 5 senses and nonsense, burning incense and intense events of the conscious, making sense to pay rent, intent a time well spent, shower for the fresh scent, then take a trip and observe and write down what I invent. Heroin stricken needles, addiction to the mind is feeble, needing to let go of our poor existence. I'd rather form a resistance with big pens and sampled instruments where vocals complement and act as freshmen and stale mouths. Canada's Northwest, my whereabouts, I care about the sights on my streets. Pushing a buggy, collecting bottles for weeks as week just to get a bite to eat. What the fuck is wrong with society? Help these fools get back on their feet. But unity is talk and talk is cheap. Modern day Bible mockery on Babylonian streets. The shit's deeper than your rain pipe. Keep your crazy pit bull muzzled in this puzzle of missing pieces like missing persons. Technology worsens the pollution in our environment, but the fools involved only quit when they're in their retirement. 5 senses and nonsense, burning incense and intense events of the conscious, making sense to pay rent, intent a time well spent, shower for the fresh scent, then take a trip and observe and write down what I invent. 5 senses and nonsense, burning incense and intense events of the conscious, making sense to pay rent, intent a time well spent, shower for the fresh scent, then take a trip and observe and write down what I invent.
And then Know-How went to Edmonton for a minute, still making beats the whole time or whatever. Yeah. And Nigel Brown, a.k.a. Rank Nubba, he was a graffiti writer that we were always, because we kicked it with a lot of the graffiti guys in the city. And he had been, like, he's from Langley or Vancouver area there, right?
Yeah.
So he moved here and we kind of clicked, and there was a time he came over and he's like, yo, we should work on some music. And I was like, dude, aren't you a graffiti writer? He's like, yo, I write raps and shit too. And I'm like, really? He's like, so he spit some of his rhymes and they weren't bad. And then he's like, yo, if you record an album, I'll get you high every day. And I was like, I don't even smoke. You know what I mean? Like, this is when I'm like 20 or whatever. And yeah. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm not going to go to the NBA or nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I play ball a lot. But, yeah, I just started smoking weed hella, and we recorded our Nowhere Near Babylon record, and that's actually one of our favorites to this day as far as the knowing of the stuff. Like, my fave was the 60403, but that one would be my second fave.
Yeah,
Yeah, we put out, I think, 1, 2, 3, 4 of those NWNBs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, limited edition and
Cup of Creeps, and then 60403.
Yeah. So in that era, you got with Nigel Brown, You guys are part of a larger group, Urban Farmers, right?
Yeah, we also formed that crew probably middle of the NWNB stuff, maybe a record or two in.
Yeah.
That was with Cosm, Spime, Cam the Wizard, Rank, Know How, and myself.
Word. So what's kind of going on in that era? That's like a, you know, a pretty important era.
I think that, yeah, it was like kind of, maybe that was like the time when Calgary was starting to, you know, shape its, like, OGs, as far as like creators wanting to put stuff out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we all had like our little collective. Everybody would be at everybody's cribs freestyling and going out to all the shows, and whoever was like battling would battle, and whoever just freestyle. But like it was a good time, man. And that was when Calgary actually had like quite a dope scene, in the sense of the B-boys, the writers, the DJs, MCs. We all were like in it, and we all like really cared. It was, I don't know, man. It was trippy. Like now you don't see that as much.
No.
Like the four elements are kind of, they're here, but they're not
disconnected. Yeah. Yeah. They're disconnected.
I mean? Do you feel it in the same in Saskatoon?
It's the same everywhere. I think, you know, back in those days, things were super, super unified. Like the things, you know, there would be elements represented at every show and things like that. And it was important to do that. And I think just
word up
things change or whatever. I don't know. You know, like I think B-boys kind of found their own voice in their own scene and their own way to express themselves. And I think, you know, a lot of graffiti writers don't even listen to hip hop. So you see that kind of natural progression out, I guess, or whatever. So things just grow or change. Not necessarily for the better, but they just changed. Yeah. Calgary had such a sick graffiti scene and B-boy scene and DJ scene and just the hip-hop scene in general in that era in the late 90s, early 2000s. It was ridiculous. Like, there's so many good DJs and so many good writers and so many good B-boys and MCs. It was
shout-out to DJ Pump.
Yeah.
That's our dude.
Definitely. Like, Pump, you know, we used to... I remember we used to roll out to Calgary for shows, you know, because you guys got some bigger shows that we didn't get in that era. And I remember going to, you know, driving out there for a Raekwon show that never happened.
Word up.
I don't know if you remember that show.
I was in van at the time.
Yeah, so that
was
show.
Was that 96?
Or? Yeah, 96 or 97. Yeah, it was like 96, word. Yeah. And so, you know, you get there and it's like, you know, show doesn't happen and you're bummed out or whatever, but met a few people and stuff. So still cool. Made the most of it, you know, kind of thing. And then I remember going out to Calgary for I don't know if you were at the venue, the Republic, that Hyrule show back in.
Yes. Like, everybody was. Yeah. Twins. That's when we met the twins.
Yeah. So like,
and it was so snowy.
Oh, it was insane snowy. Like, I remember walking to the venue. We were staying downtown with a friend that used to live out here. And walking to the venue, the snow was like up to my knees. It was insane. We had to walk. There's no way of getting there. And the venue was, it was like one of the largest snowstorms I've ever seen. And the venue was so packed.
That show was classic, bro. Like all of Hyrule. Yeah. Oh my God.
It was ridiculous. Like, I can't believe like I'm just looking at a record I got signed that night here. The last one, Go the Length, 12-inch. You know, it's signed by like Touré, A+, J Biz, Pep Love, Dell, Opio, Domino, Casual, right? Like Tajay. Yeah, it's just like out of control. I'm just like thinking back to that to that show or whatever. And it's like, man, all those guys in that era, like in Calgary, and it was like, how could you not go? Like,
yeah, that was amazing.
And then like the craziest snow, like that venue was so packed. It was like, oh, it was crazy. That was a wild show.
Those guys must have been tripping, man. They're like, damn, it's so cold here.
yeah, that was such a wild snowstorm. Like,
everybody still
man.
Showed up.
And yeah, it was dope. And like going out to see the Scratch Pickles and stuff in Calgary and things like that. Like, there's just, I don't know, there's just a really bunch of really dope shows going on in that era. And there's DMCs out there and stuff, and I don't know, just
word.
Rolling out. It was a lot of fun to you know, to go out to a few things there and see the scene and just, you know, things like that, which is really dope. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of like, I feel like maybe, you know, Vancouver, you know, was kind of the first ones, then maybe Calgary, then Saskatoon, kind of, we all yeah, our scene kind of developed from there. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, definitely.
From the left coast in.
Definitely. I think everything, you know, on the prairies is, you know, derived from Vancouver, right? Like that's like,
word.
You know, you're not looking to Toronto, you're looking to Vancouver and the sound there. I think it was just,
yeah,
there was just something about the West Coast Underground that was just the sound, and it was just the realness of it. And you could like relate to it a lot more than you could like, you know, like the East Coast music at the time. Like it was like, don't get me wrong, I bought every East Coast record I could in that era and or, you know, listen to the hell out of it or whatever, right? But it was just something about that West Coast that just drew you in, right? It was just because it was all about skill, right? And
yeah, like I find kind of like the West Coast Underground,
yeah,
was more like skills and kind of techniques and, you know, more, a little bit less like gangster, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like we had the main gangster cats, NWA's Bay Area cats, and then we had kind of like the skill guys, like the Souls and Hyro and Fellowship, cats like that. So yeah, like I totally feel you there. You could relate more, but then, you know, like we grew up on that East Coast, like we were influenced by a lot of street shit, no matter what.
Exactly, and like being like our age, that's, you're going to hear all those same records and you're going to, and that's what you're going to hear because what's on TV is all that is, you know, on much, you know, on Rap City and stuff, you're seeing all the stuff from New York and it's super exciting. So you're like, oh man, like that's the best. And then you find out about this other stuff and you're like, oh man, that's the best. And you're like, man, rap is just the best in general. And you're like, just blowing your mind.
No doubt.
Every other day. And you're like, oh man, that was a fun time definitely to be around and be a fan and you know, to start getting involved and doing things.
Definitely. And it was exciting because like releases were like, you know, like monthly things. Like you'd be like, yo, Brand Nubian's about to come out. Yo, Souls are coming out. But it wasn't like there was 15 albums a week.
No. And you knew it was coming out months. You'd read about it in the source or whatever. And you'd be like, okay, this is coming out. And then it would get pushed back and it wouldn't come out. And you wouldn't know what was going on because there was no internet or anything really to, you know, you couldn't just instantly find out what happened. And then you'd be like waiting for the next issue to come out. And you'd be like, okay, God, something happened or this happened. And you're like, you know, just the anticipation of like, you know, like records would come, like, groups will put out a second record like 2 or 3 years after the first, right? You'd have to wait quite a long time for a follow-up. Nowadays, it's like new record, drops out of nowhere, no lead-up, boom, it's out. And you're like, oh, you know, just, it's a different...
It's nuts nowadays. Yeah. Like, it seems like shit's old like in a week or two.
Yeah, that's totally what's going on, man. I think like, you know, in that era, the record would come out, you'd buy it, so... And, you know, you buy the tape or whatever, and you throw it in your Walkman, and you have to listen to the whole thing, front to back, and you'd be like, man, that's pretty much, I got to listen to this tape no matter what, because I spent all my money on it. So, you know, you'd fall in love with it, and, you know, it was just a different era of, like, experiencing music.
And you'd rock with that tape for, like, a whole year.
Yeah.
Until his new one drops or whatever.
Yeah, it'd be heavy rotation, you know, you'd wear it out or those kind of things. So, yeah, it was... I think, yeah, it's just become more, like, disposable or, like, just, it's really hard to have a record that's, like, lasting or impactful, I think, nowadays, just due to the sheer volume.
Slow down, my style spit behind the line. This shit give you creeps like the white economy line at the school ground.
Yeah.
Is that ill?
Yeah.
And I guarantee it's that real the cat's still. I don't waste no minutes, I just rip the track. You want beats? Holler and I hit too bad. If you got G's, there's no charity, homie. Plus we ain't Hollywood, we don't know TV. Only got fans here. What's up the fan grid? I make the bitches blow my flute like they Zamfir. Yeah, I'm so gifted, it hurts you guys. I'm so big with it, girl, let me work your thighs. Big balls like ostrich eggs. Plus rhymes to say, yes, I got it in lots of ways. So colossal, hostile, and off the bar stool. Don't listen cause you wanna listen cause it got stole.
Yeah.
shot the sheriff and the deputy too, folks. Durable, new folks, you terrible, who you? Unbearable, findable, glare through your parents' cool, prepared for you. Smoke in your stereo, my head grows, chilling with the scarecrow, like where'd he go? All aboard the yard, they'll be like, there he goes. Y'all know, don't compare to most folks. A PMO, blowing reefer smoke. You can keep your dope, cause we steep and flows. Creeping with oodles, oodles of O's. What is it, me? And my noodles supposed to do? Get you out your clothes, boo. Or at least feeling the groove. Shake and move. It's a place we're finna take you to. It's a race I won't lose. Take it back to the old school, boo. Act like I told you something.
Get your girl off of the couch, get him hopping, no doubt. Kangaroos is what I'm talking about. Since whose house to our house, my dick's in your mouth. I'm all gold, you counterfeit like bills from the south. Count amount of shit if you still living in doubt. Sop, I'm all about living out loud. I'm proud, motherfucker standing at 6-0. Body rocking a show, a body rocking a oh, no you didn't. Of course I did. Touch a track with the magic of a sorceress. Of course it's Chris, cause I'm with my friends in the mix. The bigger the crew, they still ain't fucking with this. You reluctant and shit, cause you know who make the best of a hit. Just a few West Coast kids. You can't front on that, you can't front on that, you can't front on that, you can't front on that.
Like me and Noah, we're talking about how, like, classic. It's hard to say what is a classic record nowadays compared to when we were young. I mean, there still is some. Like, I think, you know that Blue in Exile, Below the Heavens?
Yeah.
I think that shit was, like, a modern classic. But, like, there's I can't pull a lot of them, you know what I mean? Like,
no,
obviously, Wu-Tang, all their shit's pretty classic, I'd say, even some of the newer stuff. But, like, yeah, it's a different day and age. Like, you know, a cat like Currency, I love his shit, but I don't know which record's classic. He has so many.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's, like, that's exactly it. Like, it, you know, you could, you know, in that different era, you'd be like, it was easy to, like, you could talk to anyone who listened to hip-hop in that era, and you could agree on what the classics were. You could say, okay, Nas, Illmatic, you know, you could be like, Pete Rock and CL Smooth, you know, Mecca and the Soul Brother. You could just go on and on and be like, okay, those are just universally accepted classics. And, you know, that was the base point. Be like, okay, we're cool. We can talk about anything to hang out now because, you know, we're on the same page and it's cool. Now it's like, I don't know. Like, it's like people talk to me about stuff. I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. I'll check it out. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not a super, like, digital music guy either. So, like, you know, I'm still into the physical copies, so if it's not a physical copy, it's not in my heavy rotation or whatever. So just, you know, growing up in a different area, you just still hold on to those roots, I guess. Which, you know, which is just how it is, man. You know
that how it is. How it is.
So you're putting, you got the NUNB Records, Urban Farmers is going on, you're releasing solo records. What else is going on at this time?
So I think Cosm and Cam put out a tape. Who else put out some? Like, I think DJ Pump was putting out mixtapes that were really dope. Let's see, who else was? And then there was, like, some other cats in the city that were, like, bubbling too, like Rick Areza and his crew, like, just different crews, I guess, were kind of forming. But nobody was really releasing. Because, like, prior to me and Know How, the only release here was I think Bubba B, Bees for Bass, was the first CD cassette combo out of Calgary, Alberta.
Yeah.
That's the very first rap tape out of here. So, like, I think we were probably the second to release something.
Yeah.
As far as a full, like, project.
Yeah.
Verbal Assassins had released some shit, too, but I think only a couple songs here and there for the CJSW. But, yeah, that's... And then, I guess, so, after that, Bonafide, like, Chain Reaction, put out stuff, him and Chris Rose. They were probably... They came before me in know-how, but they never had released.
Yeah.
So, but then, yeah, around that time, everybody started to... There was another cat, his name's Lacon. I forget what his rap name was again, but he put out stuff too. So there was probably like four or five of us starting to put stuff out of Calgary.
Yeah. And so you guys, you're playing more and more shows and stuff like that. And, you know, what are some of your highlights? You know, shows you played or, you know, things like that.
I think, like, in the beginnings here in, like, late 90s, early 2000s, it was mostly, like, opening for Calgary shows.
Yeah.
So, like, we opened for Guru, we opened for J-Ru, we opened, like, pretty much everyone who came through, we had opened for, JS1 and Rizal.
Yeah, I remember that too. I remember those, all these tours, like, saying, I'm like, I remember them, but just seeing them here.
Up. So, like, we were opening, did Naughty come through? They might have, but we were opening shows. And then with the Nilanova, in one of the verses, I was like, catch us on tour. And we had never toured. And then we finally set up a tour, like, after I said it, so it's kind of like I spoke it into the universe. And then we went out to do the West Coast, and we came, I think we went all the way to Winnipeg with NWNB a few times.
Yeah.
And those were dope shows. We wish we would have got out to the East more. We did do the festival in Montreal, the Under Pressure in 05. And that was dope because Cool Herc was there, I believe.
Oh, nice.
And during our set, Ewan told us that Herc said, yo, these guys are dope. So when we heard that, we were like, oh, shit, like the Godfather.
Yeah,
man. That felt good, right?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, so that was a dope. That was like a really good show because we had never been out east and we got love out there. So that was really cool. Then we just came back home and think around 05, we had like a fifth. We had this record called Blue Light District we were going to put out. But somehow, I think Nuba got married around that time.
Yeah.
And we kind of lost touch, so NWNB kind of just fizzled out.
Yeah, like life takes over, life happens. That's
word, and then I went back to the solo tip for a bit.
Yeah, and you put out Westward, the album?
Yeah, I recorded a lot of joints with Moke out in the coast.
Yeah.
Got a joint with PSC from Living Legends, which was really cool because we were all pretty big on Living Legends at the time.
Yeah.
And then Fono, of course, he's the homie. So he got on Scratches, and I think he produced the joint, if I remember right. But yeah, so just kept it moving. And then what happened after that? I think it was... Westward album. Then me and Nuba, one day Nuba reached out to me and like, this is like 10 years later or something. And he's like, do you still play chess? And I was like, yeah, word. So then we started playing chess and like, you know, kind of reconnecting.
Yeah.
And that's where like Nuba was kind of in the past and we were just like getting zooted and playing chess in the park in the summer and stuff. And we thought of the concept of Ted's Rocket.
Word.
But that's my last project that I put out full length.
Sun, moon, stars, quasars, motherfuckers sound like Airwood jets.
Today's the day, baby, so stuck up on these, stuck up on these, stuck up on these. I said today's the day, baby, so stuck up on these,
suck up on these, suck up on these.
You motherfucking right, today's the day to do it like Isaac Hayes, to do it like Marvin Gaye. We blaze the strongest, Ted's rocket, we keep it honest. Perfect music for chronic, above and beyond it. I put in work so the family eat, like a permanent vacation, how I bring you the heat. The real recognize, along with the ladies, so bump it in your rocket or that fresh new Mercedes.
Yo, I'm up with the sun, getting up on some cheese, and I switched up the steez just to fuck with MCs, you know. Too many get caught up in the breeze, now they spending all day with that stuck in the tree. Ted's rocking, untucking the heat, yeah. For you to bump in your Jeep, yeah. Make them duck in the street, the way you creep slow. Karma could get you cause you reap what you sow, you know, you know. But do you really know though, all you got's today to purify your soul, bro, for real though. I ain't even kidding, and way too many of y'all are bullshitting. We still hitting in so many ways. Most slavery with styles for days. We put it down with the best of them, so you can get these nuts and just nestle them.
Today's the day, baby, so suck up on these, suck up on these, suck up on these. Today's the day, baby, so suck up on these, suck up on these, suck up on these.
Don't play at shows for free, this ain't 93. What's the difference between you and me? We both gotta eat. It's a silly world, everybody's stuck to the screen. May as well call me Dairy, always next to the queen. Roll another and another, then we spit in the booth. Ted's rocket always free, we let it do what it do. Making money, making music in the keys of life. R.I.P. the prodigy, proof from Fife.
Today's the day, baby, so suck up on these, suck up on these, suck up on these. Today's the day, baby, so suck up on these, suck up on these, suck up on these. Today's the day, baby, so suck up on these, suck up on these, suck up on these. Today's the day, baby, so suck up on these, suck up on these, suck up on these.
That was fun, man. So we might do more. We'll see.
Yeah, and you're still making beats all the time as well.
Mm-hmm.
In the
yeah,
lab.
I'm trying to get know-how back in the booth, so it might happen. We're under a new moniker, Everybody Soul. Still yep. Got the ES, but yeah, I'm trying to get know-how. Like, he's still rhyming, but he hasn't been on a record in a minute, so
yeah.
I think people will be excited if we can get that popping off.
No, I think that'd be really good. Yeah, I think there'd be some definite excitement for that.
Word, and I still talk to a Shrimp who goes by Agape now.
Yeah.
We were talking about maybe doing a Japan only thing, and then there's always Mocha, who we're always in touch. So
yeah.
I don't know if we'll do a full project, but we're always talking about. I was like Pro Toolist for the last year or so. So now I got Logic Pro X because I didn't like that model that Pro Tools makes you pay monthly.
Yeah.
So annoying.
Yeah,
it's like, yo, can I just, you know, and then I was going to buy the perpetual for like $8 or whatever. But Fono just hit me up and he's like, yo, I got a Logic Pro. You should try and fuck with that. So I'm going to try and work my magic on that. I'm just learning it right now as we speak.
I think it's a good option, and it's definitely way more affordable and without the subscription, which I can't get on board with.
Word. You use it then?
Yeah, I actually have only recorded all my stuff in Logic since I started.
Okay.
It's kind of like, if you've ever worked with GarageBand, that's where I like kind of got into the idea of it.
Okay.
But I still don't know everything about it. It's a huge program, but it's super easy once you get the hang of it. I don't know how much you've played with it, but yeah, I haven't recorded anything in like a year on this thing, and I'm like, oh yeah, now I remember this is all like this, and yeah.
yeah. No, I'm just starting out, so I'll get it like it down in within the month or two. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I've even made a lot of beats in it. Like, I mean, and I probably. With the cut and paste and like just arranging stuff. But I know I've seen people, you know, plug in different instruments, different like samplers, stuff like that. And just, you know, it's super.
Word.
Yeah. Easy to use.
Nice.
Word.
Yeah. That's probably what I'm going to I'm thinking maybe of releasing some beat tapes as well.
Yeah.
Because, like, everything on my IG is kind of sneak peek. Like, if you like it, then I can mix it and send it. I mean, it's mixed, but it's coming straight out the speakers.
Yeah.
Because I don't really want to give you, like, straight up wave files.
Yeah.
On social media.
No, for sure.
But, yeah, like, beats are for sale. I might do some beat tapes. And then, like I said, either some solo stuff, some Everybody Soul, or some Ted's Rocket.
Nice.
Word.
If people want to hit you up on Instagram for beats or different things, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, they can just DM or they can email. It's ipizzle@gmail.com. It's all on my IG.
Nice.
Or you could just Google Infinite PAKIPZ.
Word up.
Yeah, man.
Man, I got a... I know we always haven't seen eye to eye over the years. but you know, we've squashed that whatever beef we had for whatever reason many years
ago. We're men.
Yeah, exactly. We took it from the message board to real life, and you know, we just, like, you know, in a cool manner, and that's what I respect about you, is we could just talk it out and, you know, and be cool and move on. And I think that's you know, I've always, you know, respect you for that, so I just wanted to shout that out.
I mean, in retrospect, I think I was like one of the first trolling motherfuckers, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I was definitely.
I was out of like everybody, and I didn't give a fuck. I was young. I just let you have it. Like, I know there's a lot of politics in everything,
yeah,
but like, I don't give a fuck, man. Like, people ask me my opinion, I'm not gonna, like, put it this way, Know-How and me are best friends pretty much for 20 years. And when I started, he'd come downstairs and be like, fuck, is that whack? And I'd be like, what the fuck? This is my best friend. Like, if this is my friend, what are my enemies?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I respect the shit out of it. And how do you think I got better?
Yeah.
You know, because there was a day he came down and he goes, fuck, is that dope? And I was like, oh, word. I'm getting the hang of it. You know what I'm saying?
No, for sure.
So I mean, a lot of cats, maybe they were sensitive. Maybe I was a bit of an asshole. I'm cool with the outcome. The bottom line is, at least I was always real and giving you my, like, 99, you know what I mean? Like, 99% truth.
Yeah.
And I know I might have offended some cats out in Saskatoon, too, but those isosceles cats, they fucking set the record high, bro.
Yeah.
Because Face the Music, that shit, I'll pump that now still.
Oh, me too. Like,
that record is bonkers. And then everything else I heard, just like, I mean, power to you. You want to create and you could be original and whatever, but like, nothing that I heard could fuck with that record. So to me, I was just being like, yo, these cats are whack. And like, I was a battle guy back then too.
So oh yeah. No, there's, like,
if you guys want to bring it, we can bring it to the mic too, whatever.
No, rap's always had that competition. There's always been ego.
Yeah.
I mean, you get a bunch of artists together, you know, they're, you know, everyone's looking to prove something. I think, you know, when you said you first met Know-How, it was like, you know, it's kind of standoffish a bit, right? And I can think of so many people that, you know, back in that era that I met, and it's the same way. It'd be like, oh, you know, like, you're like, you know, you're like a prize fighter. You're just kind of eyeing them up and down. You're looking, you're like, okay, was this guy like dope or not dope or whatever,
exactly.
And you're just, and then you're like, oh, now we've been friends for 25 years, you know, like, you know what I mean? So,
and like, we were all young, so your whole mentality is a little more, you're ignorant, you're more hungry, you're kind of like, oh, I'm fresher than you, and like, as you grow, none of that shit really matters. It's more like, yo, you still a hip-hop head? Dope, man. Like, fuck, I respect the fuck out of all of us guys that are still in it, because we're real, like, we love this culture.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely. Dope. I think that's like, you know, what the, you know, like, obviously we had like beef on the internet or whatever, and that is what it is. And I was like, you know what? At the end of the day, we both love the same music and we grew up in the same music. And, you know, I think we have a common ground. And I think that's what definitely enabled us to, you know, to just be like, cool, we're cool and move forward. You know what I mean? Just having.
Yeah. And above all is we just keep going, like, regardless of what anybody thinks of any of us.
Yeah.
If you keep going, man, power to you. Like, I respect that shit. Like, because, you know, any of us artists, we're putting ourselves out there to be loved or hated anyways.
Yeah, exactly. Very true.
You know what I mean? Like, not everyone's going to like my shit. Not everyone's going to like your shit. Are we going to give a fuck, though? No. I'm going to keep creating.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's what it is. That's dope.
Yeah, that's dope. I just had to drop that. I know people would be wondering about that or whatever.
Yeah.
We get a bunch
I honestly didn't catch feelings. I have no hatred towards anybody. As far as I know, I've squashed any beefs I have. Yeah, if anyone has a beef currently, yo, that's your business. But
exactly.
I sleep good at night. I'm on my $3,200 Tempur-Pedic, know what I mean?
Yes.
That's more important, sleeping nice.
Exactly. Yeah, important stuff. Having a nice bed is so important, man.
It's a new investment. I was like, yo, because wifey wanted it, and I was like, yo, this is so dope.
But if you're like, just think of your like 19, 20 year old self, you'd be like, I'd sleep on the floor so I could spend that $3,200 on a ASR-10, right? And you would do it without even thinking.
I did. There was a period in my life I slept on this like little ghetto mattress, dog. Yeah. Real talk.
Yeah, no, you would do that because that's what was important, or what, you know, it was more important, and that's what, you know, brought you all the excitement and joy, and that's what's, I love that, you know, like, I don't know, you know, I don't know if I'd do that nowadays, because I don't know if I can get up in the morning, but
and
back
look at
then,
all of us, we all hit the homies' couches and floors when we were touring. Yeah. I remember I slept over at Moke's crib on his puffy jackets because he didn't have any guest space at the time. So he laid out his puffy coats and I just slept on those. It was comfy as fuck.
Yeah. Whatever it took, right? Whatever it took so you could go make it happen and do it. It was like, oh, you got a floor I can sleep on? Perfect. That's all I need.
No doubt.
Yeah, it's so dope.
Anything for us to go rock it.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, man, it was great chatting with you, great catching up with you. Really appreciate you taking the time to chat with us today. Anything else you want to share with us today?
Just thanks for having me. Shout out to all the homies. I mentioned most of y'all in this interview. And to everybody out there, all the shorties coming up, man. You guys have all the tools. You guys have all the podcasts. You have so much information. So this shit should be a lot easier for all y'all.
Yeah.
Like, we want y'all to like come up and don't sleep. Like, I'm not a dinosaur. I know all the young guys love their trap and shit, but don't sleep on the boom bap. Just update it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Don't be afraid to sample still. Don't be afraid to, you know, like, even if you trap your drums, put some soul samples. Erykah Badu showed you that it was dope on that, you know, that what's that record she put out with the phone or whatever? That shit was all trapped with soul.
Yeah, I remember that.
That shit is so dope, man. So yeah, I'm just saying, like, rock on, everybody. And if you want to cop any of my music or support me in any way, shape, or form, that's much appreciated. Shout out to Chaps and Chapter 5.
Thanks, man. Hell yeah. Appreciate you joining us. Take care. All the best. And hopefully we'll run into you soon.
Word up, man. Anytime you're in Calgary, holler.
Word up. All right, take care.
One love.
Yeah, 06 plus one. Yeah, I open up your mind, I'm one of a kind. Diamond mine, I shine a time. Yeah, we get mine in the mind. 2007, please turn and shine. Dying on a whack MC, he can't rhyme. Damn, it's a shame, better off doing crime. Sonics, that's how I feel. Still hyping unsigned, grinding for that meal. Nothing sweet. Ayo, my life ain't sugary, but I know how to hook up beats and make a boogie beat. She be checking like cracking a pipe. One hit if he got him addicted for life. But I ain't selling no devilish potions. Just a piece of my soul combined with emotions. Ocean of thought and O's the pot. I place hay in the crib where the mom and pops. Word to your mom and your pops. I don't stop, y'all. So word to your mom and your pops. I don't stop, y'all. Cause word to your ma, your pops. My feet don't stop, y'all. Cause that's word to your ma, your pops, y'all. Mom, your pops, mom. Say dudes, sicker than most. East to west, south to north. Yeah, port to port, only love my supporters. Haters have quarters, but their game's out of order. This the official dog, let your wrist flow. This flow, sick bro, finna blow like missile. But fuck the war, I'd rather tour. Stack some Nike boxes, act immature. Inner child still wanna play, they want me to play. So I tell them to pay, and if they ain't pay, I still enjoy my day. Pimping life under the sun, anyway. Goss the dip, spliff on the roster tip. Plus I kill your whole roster, bitch. Yeah. You hear that? Motherfuckers,
I wasn't joking.